1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 28. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice in the Lord. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So today we're going to take the Bible literally, and everybody turn to your neighbor and greet them with a holy kiss. Okay, you don't have to do that. So we don't all read, oh, we got one there, yeah, thank you. We don't all read the Bible literally, huh? That's okay. And that is true. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we as a church, as you know, have been studying this letter over the last number of weeks here at Fellowship, and our letter ironically ends with this in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians on Thanksgiving Day. And among the many verbs and commands of this chapter, there's that often quoted verse, is to give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, right? Well, give thanks. I thought, well, what a perfect passage for today, for our Thanksgiving worship together. Of course, that verse about giving thanks in all circumstances is giving thanks to God, right? It does not mean to give thanks in general to whomever. It's not a command telling us just to thank our hosts and our parents for making a big meal for us, although there's nothing wrong with doing that as well. And it does not mean that we should just work up that feeling of thanks and generosity, or thanks or gratitude in our hearts just so that we have a warm, fuzzy feeling about being thankful. Our therapists will tell us we should be more thankful and have more gratitude so that we would feel better about ourselves. But no, the act of thanksgiving or of offering thanks, at least for Christians, always has someone to thank. Abraham Lincoln, I think, had it right when he declared the day of Thanksgiving should be a day of thanksgiving and praise, he says, to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. He acknowledges that the many good things we have as a nation, like the natural resources we have and the people groups and the power and freedom, all come from, he says, not from a mortal's hand, not from a human being's hand, but rather they are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, quote unquote, the gracious gifts of the Most High God who has remembered mercy in the face of our many sins. On this day, we thank God, who is most certainly not us, and it's not the same thing as the feelings that we have. We thank God in heaven who showers us with his gifts, his blessings, and his grace. But that command, give thanks in all circumstances, can be challenging, as you know. It's not easy to thank God when you feel you have not been given much. It's not easy to thank God when you can't afford the nicer or newer things that your friends have. It's not easy to thank God when you're sick. A lot of us are sick, or we have family members who are sick right now. Or to thank God when you're in the hospital or serving in the army in a foreign land, far, far away from home, especially during the holidays, in which we have many service members right now who are standing watch, standing guard, on the sea, under the sea, in foreign lands, in the air, protecting us and keeping us safe. It's not easy to be thankful to God when the boss says you have to work on the holiday the whole weekend. For some people, Thanksgiving may remind them just how little they have compared to others when they start the comparison thing in their minds. And for the believers living in Thessalonica, it may not have been very easy for them to be thankful either when they were harassed and experiencing hardship just for being Christian. In chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, they suffered from their own people who displeased God and were hostile to everyone. Not only that, the Apostle Paul says that Satan blocked their way from returning to them and meeting them. Chapter 3, verses 2 to 3, it says, Timothy was eventually sent to them in order to encourage them in their faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well, it says, that we are destined for them. Well, we may be destined to experience trials in life, especially as believers, but it still doesn't make it easy or easier for us to give thanks to God in all circumstances. So in this concluding chapter, the apostles teach us something about our responsibility, I think in three different areas as we look at this passage, and I want to dig into it a little bit this morning, just briefly, these three different areas, our responsibility toward our leaders, our responsibility toward others, and our responsibility toward God. And first, our responsibility toward our leaders. And specifically, this passage in the Bible is talking about our church leaders, our congregational leaders. Verses 12 through 13, it says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Now, you know, since they had to say live at peace with each other, that they probably were having some issues, some problems with living at peace with the congregation and their leaders. So Paul and the other apostles had spent some considerable time defending their own leadership among them. You remember, they were talking about saying how we were not stingy and we worked hard for our food and our needs and we weren't tricksters or hucksters and we weren't uncaring. So it seems that other church leaders, too, were being attacked as well. So the Bible calls us to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. In fact, it says to hold them in the highest regard because of their work. Respect, regard, esteem, recognize the work of your elders and deacons and pastors among you. They care for you like parents who care for children. They love you and, yes, may even correct or admonish you in love. We live in an age of little respect or regard for church leadership, and I think it's gone downhill last number of decades. We have little respect for church order or structure or any kind of formal process these days in the church, and this makes it difficult for our church leaders to lead us. Or even to volunteer for such positions. Your council works hard for the care of everyone, for the whole congregation. So let us give thanks for their sacrifice and their attention to the many and various concerns that arise within the church on any given month. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work, it says. That's our responsibility toward our leaders, our church leaders. And so secondly, our responsibility toward others. We urge you, brothers and sisters, verses 14 and 15 continues, and we urge you, warn those who are idle and disruptive. See those two words together. We're going to talk about that, those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. That is, this is how you treat others, especially those who have certain problems or special problems within the church and the church congregation. First, it says, warn those who are idle. Warn those who are idle. The NASB version of the Bible says, admonish the unruly. And you think, well, that sounds different than idle. Idle's like I'm not doing anything, I'm not working, and unruly sounds a little different than that. Well, the NASB is picking up on a broader sense of that word idle in the original there. Where you have the unruly, and so we pick it up and say idle and disruptive in our NIV translation. So it would certainly mean those who refuse to work, but it could also mean those who are causing trouble, the undisciplined, the irresponsible, the disorderly, the unruly. In other words, one of the tasks of the church is to warn the troublemakers for their own sake, but also for the sake of the community too. And it talks more about warning the idle in the second letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 3, where it says, "We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive." There it is, those two words paired together again. Warn those who are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busybodies. And such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. So we see that, first of all, that warning, or that the call for us to warn those who are causing trouble. But we also are called to encourage the disheartened, come alongside of those who are faint-hearted, timid, fearful, worried, lacking confidence. Personally, I'm very thankful for those who have come alongside me over the years, who've encouraged me and prayed for me and walked alongside of me during those times. Help the weak also includes those who are spiritually weak, been biblically or theologically weak in their understanding too. Help those who struggle with certain temptations. And it says, be patient with everyone. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, right? And it's a characteristic of who God is. And just as God has been very patient with us and continues to be patient with us, we ought to be patient with one another, especially those who struggle in certain areas. And don't pay back wrong for wrong, but instead strive to do what is good for each other and everyone else. Did you catch that? Strive to do what is good, not just for yourself, but for each other and for everyone else. Try to do the good thing for the community as a whole. And again, I'm thankful for our council leaders and others who seek to do the good for the whole church, and not just what's good for them personally, or not just what's good for their family, or what's good for their age group. But as leaders, you have to think about the bigger picture and the whole church community. We have a responsibility toward each other, and the apostles are calling us to that and reminding us of that too. And finally, the third responsibility is our responsibility toward God. In verses 16 through 22, it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil." So this is a reminder pointing us all the way back to chapter 1, verse 4, where it says that you are loved by God. You are chosen by God. The gospel came to you with power and with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. And so, if Romans 8:28 is true, that says, "In all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose." If that is true, then what should be our response in life, no matter what's going on around us? Because we know that God is at work, even in and through the tough times, the hospital visits, the parole hearings, the test failures at school, the family squabbles, because we know that God is working for my good in all things, Romans 8:28, through even the bad stuff in life, deep down there's a joy. Deep down there's an understanding that God's got this. Deep down there's an understanding that we know God's going to do something with this, either in my own life or in the life of someone else. And giving thanks helps us to reach that joy. I think in some way being thankful and expressing our thanks to God is a way of rejoicing. Rejoicing is simply expressing our joy. In thanksgiving, we are letting out our joy in knowing that even in an imperfect world, God is working for my good. God is caring for me like a parent cares for a child. God is loving me and providing for my necessities in life. God is there for me. So with a deep and profound joy, I can give thanks in all circumstances. I can pray continually and allow the Holy Spirit to work through me and to work through my fellow church members. Always testing, not shutting off the mind. Always testing. Always holding on to the good, the right, the godly, and letting go and throwing away what is bad and what is evil. So right smack dab in the middle of all these verbs and these commands that we've read today, we get to the heart of the matter, is keeping our perspective in life. knowing our relationship with God and our identity solidly and firmly in Jesus Christ. Expressing our gratitude to God for all that God has done for us in the past, for all that God continues to do for us, even now. It helps us, I think, access that joy within. The joy of knowing the Father's love, the Father's care, and the Father's provision for our needs. Thanks be to God for all of his many, many gifts to us. Will you join me in prayer? Loving God, we praise you today for who you are and all that you have done in our lives and in our world. We praise you and thank you for the offerings of thanks that we've heard today. It's good to hear each other's stories and to witness how you have been working in the lives of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us, Lord, to remember your many blessings, healings, gifts that we have received from you in this last year. And help us to remember that all that we have comes from your fatherly hand of mercy and grace. Missional God, we know that it is not just ordained servants that you send into the world with a gospel message and servant hearts. You have called all of us to be your hands and feet and mouths to a lost and hurting world. So help us all to see how you would use our jobs, our homes, our friends and family and relationships to further your kingdom. Help us to enter into the lives of others who are hurting, those who lack the basic necessities of life, those who get into trouble with the law. May we be open to the Spirit's leading every day. Compassionate God, we thank you for showing us compassion and mercy by forgiving us of our sins and providing for us when we didn't deserve anything. When we were still sinners, you came to us in Christ Jesus, your Son. You saved us. And you continue to give us more than we need, so much more. So this week, Lord, we celebrate Thanksgiving. And who do we thank but you, Lord? For all good things come from you. We are blessed and we're thankful to you, God. So in a spirit of gratefulness, we bring before you our concerns, too, for a world that seems so often dark and violent, for the mentally ill among us, for those impacted by the lack of sunlight this time of year, for families who will not be getting together this Thanksgiving because of conflict or grudges held or bridges burned long ago. Today we lift to you wars and innocent people and children who get caught up in wars and who often suffer the most. God, bring peace to Israel and Gaza and bring the needed supplies to those who are hurting, hungry, or harassed around the world. God, you hear us when we pray, and so in faith we lift these prayers to you. May you be glorified in our lives today and always. Protect us in our travels this weekend. Be near to the many who are not feeling well today, and be near to us in our family gatherings too. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.